Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We celebrate. We celebrate who Christ is. We walk into his presence. And by the way, you brought him in with you. You didn't just come into his presence. He came in with you. I'm not worried about an empty shell that we walk into and hope that the Holy Spirit shows up. He comes here because he's in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I just share with you, 2,000 years ago when that veil was ripped from top to bottom, from that moment on, it was not about the temple, the shell of a building. But when the moment that the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, began to act, actually I'll take it back to Acts 1, verse 8, when Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses unto me. All of a sudden we became Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. We are the house of God. That's how I know he's here, because you're here and I'm here. And we're together worshiping and celebrating who Christ is. We celebrate the Christ life. And we're not talking about religious. I was watching this morning on channel 80, whatever it is, the Spirit, you know, on DirecTV, whatever that thing is. It says, you are listening to religious music. And I thought, and I said it, as soon as I read it, I went, well, I guess that's their perspective. And so no judgment there, but the truth is what we're listening to is words that were inspired by the Spirit of the living God to give praise to the Creator. And we just sing along because, by the way, the heavens are already doing that. You know, we're just joining in heaven's chorus, because the heavens, even the stars, are worshiping God today. Isn't that awesome? That's the Creator. So one more time, give our Creator, as though he just walked in the room, give him a hand. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. You are the truth. You are the light. You are the way. Father, we worship you. Come on. Come on. Woo. Jesus, lover of my soul. He is the lover of my soul. Have you fallen in love with, now I'm not talking about getting all weird, talking about falling in love with Jesus. By the way, when you fell in love with the one you fell in love with, didn't you get a little bit weird about her? Or him? Didn't you just get, as was it in Bambi? Didn't you get a little Twitter-pated for Christ? Do you remember the movie? Are you old enough to remember Bambi? And Thumper? He was Twitter-pated. That's what the word was in the movie. We just throw goofy stuff out that like that, because the truth is, when you fall in love with this amazing God, there's no words to describe it. There really are no words. So I want to just wrap this time of worship. Everything we do here is worship, by the way. Everything we do is an act of worship. Should be, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Everything should be. Our body's a living sacrifice. So Father, as we wrap this portion of our worship up, I'm simply inviting the Spirit of the living God to be free. You're already here. We're not inviting you where you're not already. You're here, but we're inviting you into freedom. And each of us can do that for ourselves. The Spirit of the living God, flow through me freely. Spirit of the living God, show me a side of you today that I did not know when I walked in these doors. When I leave here to be in love so much deeper because I heard the lover of my soul speak words to me that only you could have ever spoken to me. And it transforms who I am. It stuns me in your presence, God. It captivates my heart. God, speak into us the words that only the Spirit of the living God can speak today. In Jesus' name, every believer in Christ would say, amen. God bless you guys. Yeah, give him another hand. So would you welcome my mentor, also an honorary elder here, and our friend, Rex Bornman.
I love you, man.
Hey, buddy.
Love you.
I love St. Charles River Church for a lot of reasons, and I love, I just love the Ivy family. We have such history here, my wife and I. It is, it's always a delight and a joy to be able to come back. We really never leave these places where you actually connect, see Roger and Shirley. It's beautiful to be able to come back and connect with genuine friendships, relationships. How many of you know those are the things that last forever? Churches come and go, worship styles come and go, current music things and fads and such things, is that all of that stuff comes and goes. But friendships, real lasting relationships, the intimate connections that you make, those things just last forever. Because you never really leave those. No matter where you go, no matter where your travels may take you, those folks are a part of your heart. They're a part of your life's experience. And so you just kind of stay connected. How many of you are old enough to know that that's kind of true? And if you're so young and dumb that you don't know that yet, it's okay. You'll grow into it as time goes on. Well, it's a joy to be here today. My wife and I are entertaining and taking on a whole brand new missionary adventure. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few moments time, just before I close today. And then I have information sheets about our ministry, about what we're doing, ways for you to pray and partner with us that I'll kind of share with you, at least those of you who are interested, if you'll stop by, kind of visit with me in the lobby a little bit before we leave the building today. I'll be happy to share some of those kind of things with you. But every time I come here, I get a chance to preach, which is a beautiful thing. A lot of people just give missionaries like me a little window of opportunity to share about what God is doing and what we'd like you to partner with us and pray with us about and how we can work together as the future goes on. But when I come here, I always get a chance to kind of share the word. And this time in preparation for this, Barry had said, you're going to come on such and so time. And I looked in the podcast and I found that you just launched a brand new series. It's the God Help Me series. In case you're not aware of that or you're not a regular attender of St. Charles River Church, right now this church is focused on God helping us. God help me. I believe the first one, maybe the first one in the series, was God help me to love people in a way that actually honors you. You know, the Lord is loving, He is gracious beyond measure, but His love isn't just this kind of greasy, gracy kind of, just everybody's okay, just the way you are. Oh, no, no. The love of God is specific and powerful and revolutionary enough to, when it impacts your life, literally change you. So that you become not only a beloved person of God, but a lover of God in response. And that changes everything about how you live. So as I prepared for this, God dropped into my heart just what I think is kind of foundational. So if you don't mind, I'm going to take a few minutes before I share about our missionary ministry to just share what I really believe is a word from the Lord for you today. Are you okay with that? How many of you believe that a word of the Lord is an important thing? Yeah. How many of you believe that the word of the Lord is a powerful thing? God didn't work to bring the universe into being. He spoke. He spoke. And so I really do believe that the word of the Lord is powerful. I believe that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so that what's important is not just what does the book say and what does the preacher say, but what is the Spirit saying? And what is the Spirit revealing about the living Christ of God and His connectedness to you and your world right here, right now, today? And so I pray, Father, that You'll help us with these moments that we have to just hear the living Word of the Lord. To receive not just the things that we talk about or the images that they entertain in our minds, but, oh God, the truth of who You are and how You are and where You are and why You are. These are the things that we really want to know today. And so we pray that you'll help us with that. In Jesus' powerful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about this, what I think is foundational. God help me. I love that line. God help me. It's probably because it falls out of my mouth so many times. You know, I'm sure as you're driving your golf cart off a ravine or nearly off a ravine, God help me probably occurs. Certainly, if you're headed toward an imminent crash, God help me. You might not even get out the help me part, but the intent is there. God help me. God help me. And as I was thinking about that, I just thought that's the story of my whole life, Lord God. If I had to kind of describe my ministry, my continuing prayer, how can I pray for you? Oh, pray, God help me. Pray, God help me. Why? Because I'm always in need of help. In fact, let me suggest if you ever get to a place where you don't need divine help, you're in a very bad place at that point in your life. But today I want to talk to you about just God help me to know how your helping me actually works. If God is always available to help us and we're always in need of his help, then we ought to know how this works. We ought to get a handle on what does it look like, feel like, taste like, smell like, and what does it result in as God helps us. Now, I'm not going to be able to unpack all of that in a few minutes time that we have, but I do want to at least share some of the basics with you about God helping us. The scripture that I want to share with you today is from 1 Peter chapter 5, and it actually starts in the middle of verse number 5. It says here that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now get this picture. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that he may lift you up in due time. Now, I know the language doesn't say, help me, but that's literally what the Bible implies when it talks about humbling yourself under the hand of God so that he might exalt you, so that he might help you, so that he might come to you in a way that assists and aids you into your relationship with him. This is how helping me works. This is how God helps us. And in order to help you with that today, and in order for God to help you with that today, there's a myth that I want to break. How many of you have ever watched a show called Mythbusters? You got to love Mythbusters. Because you got to hate myths. And mythicizes. But myths are that idea, that thing that really, when you actually uncover it, it's not so much this axiomatic truth as people make it out to be. And so I want to bust the myth today, if you don't mind. And then I also want to share an image with you, because I think in pictures. And so it's more easy for me to find the picture and actually put it out there. And then we'll talk about that a little bit. The myth is God helps those. Go ahead, finish it. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you know that is not in the Bible? It's most of me. I hear people do this for me all the time. You know how the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. I said, no. I've actually read the Bible a bunch of times, and it does not say that. In fact, it doesn't even suggest that. I know where it comes from. Ben Franklin, in Poor Richard's Almanac, said, God helps those who help themselves. Aesop, back in the days of the fables, one of the fables was about this person who needed the help of the strong and the mighty god, Hercules. And so he calls upon Hercules because his cart is stuck in the mire and the muck. And he's pushed and he's shoved and he can't move the cart. And he finally calls on Hercules, who comes and shows up. And he says, if you want the help of the gods, you've got to put yourself behind the cart and begin to shove, because the gods help those who help themselves. But the reality of how God helps people is not, I'm looking for the person who's trying the hardest. I'm looking for the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm looking for the person with the most potential. I'm looking for the one who's just full of promise. Why, these are the people that God is surely looking for. No. The God of heaven is looking for the helpless. the hopeless, those who are absolutely laden with failure, who are overwhelmed with their inferiorities and their issues to the degree where they say, if God doesn't help me, then nothing's ever going to happen. And when you are at your most helpless place, you're in the spot where God can help you. You've got to get this, because there's a process here. Before the help of God comes, the humility of man has got to be felt. You have to experience this sense of need and loss and want and frustration and futility before you ever say, oh God, please, if you don't save me, if you don't help me, I got nothing. I'm dead, I'm dying, I'm done. God, help me. I was just waiting for you to understand how sick and miserable you really were. Remember, he writes to one of the churches in Revelation, and he says, you guys' issues are that you think you're all of that in a bag of chips. You are. You think you're smart and powerful and wonderful, all of this, but the truth is you're blind and wretched and naked and undone in every way. But as long as you think you're not, as long as you're proud of who you are and how you are, God is obligated to resist your pride. Waiting, pushing, shoving to get you to the place where you humble yourself under the hand of God. And then, and only then, can he exalt you, help you, lift you up. You see, do you understand how it works? God helps those who help themselves. No, no, no. God helps helpless people. God doesn't give vision to people because they have potential. God gives vision to people because they're blind and dumb. And they walk around bumping into stuff in the name of God. And he finally says, you guys, how many of you would like help? Come on, can I ask a question? How many of you would like help? I need help. Hey, really, this is the good news. If you're facing something, you're going, I have no idea, I have no clue. Hallelujah! Rejoice, this is your day. You're in the right place, or at least you're nearing the right place. Because God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps the humble. Those who humble themselves under the hand of God. Humility comes before help. Amen. Come on, say it with me. Humility comes before help. Humbling myself under the hand of God and realizing no amount of work will save me. No amount of good deeds can save me from my sin. No amount of intent can change my life. I'm gonna pull myself up by my bootstraps. Good luck with that, Charlie Brown. Seriously. Good luck with that. How many of you have gone through these self-effort programs again and again and again to finally go, if God doesn't help me, sweetheart, I'm dead and dying. I'm done. But God is in the business of helping. But he's just helping. He's helping. He's helping the humble. Amen. He's helping those who know they need help. I had a guy tell me one time, man, I listen to you and I talk about this stuff. Religion is a crutch. You ever heard that line? Religion is such a crutch. And I think, you know, I don't know how you respond to that, but I said, amen. Thank God. Because I've been limping through life. And I know a ton of people who are limping through life who would welcome a crutch, who would welcome a help. Why? Because they know they need help. Humility comes before honor. The humble soul is the soul that receives the help of the Lord. Amen? And so I have a picture for you. I have an image for you. Actually, I had Gene pull this up for us. There he is. I used to live in Maryland. I pastored a church in the northern suburbs of Maryland, and the Maryland Terrapin is the college, you know, mascot. And their phrase, "Fear the turtle." I just used to laugh out loud, and I thought, "Woo, fear the turtle." Why? They're generally pretty helpless creatures. Now, I get that some of them will latch onto your finger and never let go. And those would make a really good stew someday. But this particular fella is just different. It's the image if you Google turtle on a fence post, this is kind of what pops up. There are a whole bunch of other ones. There are, by the way, how many have ever heard of the idea of a turtle on a fence post? Or as the old farmer in the West would have said, a post turtle. By the way, if you look this up at any point in time, you'll find most people apply the term post turtle to today's political people. Pick a president, any president for the last 40 years, and they are somewhere identified as post turtles. And the idea of the post turtle is that poor guy has no idea how he got there. He has no capacity to get from there to anywhere. He has in fact been raised to the level of his absolute uselessness. And quite frankly, I'd like to find out who the idiot is that put him there. Well, there's the political version of the post turtle. But the one I'm thinking about is really, how many of you know the name Alex Haley? He's passed away now, but an author, a famous African-American author, wrote a lot of wonderful books beyond just Roots. But Roots was probably the seminal series of books and was turned into movies and television programs and miniseries and impacted the cultural development of the United States of America. Because it was such a powerful representation of the slave history of America. Alex Haley kept the picture just like this in his study. And everybody who would come in would ask him, "Why? What is that all about?" And Alex Haley is famous for quoting and saying this again and again and again to anybody who would ask, "If you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you have to realize he had some help." I like that. Because the reality is that God is willing to help the helpless. He's willing to put you in places that you could never get to on your own. But the beauty is the one who helped you get there will help you get from there to the next place. And the next place, and the next place, because this is who God is. And it's how He is. God is able to help you. God is able, here's what the scripture says in one place, God is able to keep you from falling. And actually, one day present you, are you ready for this one? Here it comes. Faultless. Before the presence of His glory. God is able, it says in another place, to finish the work that He has begun in you. He will actually carry it on to perfection to the day of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are asking for and receiving the help of God. Not just help me now, get back on my feet, and then I will walk mightily for God the rest of my years. Not without the help of God, you won't. Every day, every moment, every decision, every opportunity. God, help me. God, help me. And God, help me know how this helping me actually works. Because in the middle of this, I'm not going to buck up. I'm not going to straighten up. I'm not going to stiffen up my neck and my back. I'm going to bow myself before God in heaven. And I'm going to cry out with my voice and my spirit. Oh, God, help me. Because I need you now more than ever before. And for those people, I believe God has newer places to keep putting us. How did you get where you are? Well, one day God just reached down and he found me in the middle of this miry pit and he lifted me up and he set me here. Wow. You think that's impressive? Here's the cool thing. He isn't done yet. But if I'm ever going to get from here to there, here's how I'm going to get from here to there. Because God is in power going to reach down. And he's going to touch me here. And he's going to put me there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's enough of the word for the day. Let me share how that's impacting me and my wife. How that's impacting my wife and me is that the Lord has moved us now into a missionary adventure for these last years of our lives. It's not the last years of our lives. We're going to live forever. We got that one figured out. Sure, and when you're going to live forever, aging doesn't mean much anymore. It means pounds, and it means hair color changes, and the inevitable drag of gravity. You understand how that works? Come on, some of you that are sagging in places you weren't before, you understand what I'm talking about. It's just the way that it works. But somebody called me just recently, a few months back now, actually, and said, are you guys up for a new adventure? Are you ready for it? And I said, do you really actually know me? You wouldn't even ask that. We think life is an adventure. We think the calling of God is an adventure. We think the fence posts are adventures. How did you get here? God put me here. What are you going to do here? Nothing if he doesn't help me. But if he helps me, amazing stuff. And you'll be able to go, wow, that was God. And I'll be right there going, amen, amen. That's who he is. And so they asked us if we would come and take on this brand new vision, burden, opportunity, if you will. I love it when they call them opportunities, you know. It'll cost you everything when it's an opportunity. But here's the opportunity. We are aware in the United States that there is a massive movement of international citizenry into the cities of the United States of America, all over the country, but specifically into the major metropolitan centers. There is just a massive movement of the nations to the United States of America. Some are coming because of the immigrant opportunity. And they are coming, many of them, to take advantage of that opportunity. But they're not like the immigrants of that our forefathers and our great-grandfathers and grandmothers were. They're a different set of immigrants. Then there are also the people who are the foreign nationals who've come for business opportunities, or they've come for the jobs, or they've come for the industry. There's a massive Indian-Asian population that is moving into the United States because of all the IT opportunities. Because of all the technological opportunities. And in fact, India has been actually giving educational grants and blessings to people for years so that they could train for these kind of opportunities. And so there's a massive movement of foreign nationals. And then there are a number of people who come, quite frankly, because they'd go almost anywhere to get away from the horrors of war or famine. Or persecution, or whatever it may be, the refugee. And many of them spend, you know, days, weeks, months, years sometimes in refugee camps. And they sort of feel like they've hit the lottery when they get sent to the United States of America. The problem is when they come, they don't know the language, and they are on a UN clock, and they're just honestly frightened and alone. And it's a whole new set of fears. But it's a very real set of fears. Every time I think about this crew of people, I think of the, remember the old, what are they called? Wild Kingdom videos? You know, they're inevitably narrated by British people. The young gazelle has been separated from the family. Oh, what's going to happen now? Here comes the lion, you know? And it's like, uh-oh. You know, and he makes it sound all so cool, which I'm sure it is if you're the lion. But if you're the gazelle, that's not such a happy moment. Ah, the wounded wildebeest has been separated from the rest of the herd. That means he's lunch for the hungry lion. And the reason I think about that is because we have the imagery of the scripture that the enemy goes about as a seeking whom he may. And I promise you, the enemy is targeting these precious people. ISIS is targeting these people. The cults are targeting these people. The drug dealers are targeting these people. We believe in reaching the nations. We have as Assemblies of God people spent many, many years and much money to reach the nations. The nations are living in the cities of America right now. And we should be spending every bit as much to reach them. And so that's what God has called us to. We are developing strategies that if they will work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we've already moved to, we believe that they can be reproduced and become effective in all of the city areas across the United States of America. So if you'd like to know more about it, if you'd like to help us in some way, we are right now in the fundraising side of it. We're in the business side of it where we want to get a team of people together. Partners, we call them. But here's what a partner is. A partner is someone who will pray diligently. Because here we are needing the help of God to do this. And how many of you believe God would help us? Yeah, I do too. So we're asking people to partner with us in prayer. We're asking people to partner with us in providing finance. The best financial partnership is not just the offerings you give. That's wonderful. But a monthly commitment to help us to make sure that the bills are paid and that we can add members to the team as we go, that we don't have to say to every new partner that wants to come on board, oh, you have to go raise finances for a year. We want to be able to say, no, God has helped us to have enough partners in here that we're able now to bring you on board. And so providing for this ministry and then participating in the ministry is a really important part of it as well. And we would love to, as we go, we're going to be looking for people to help us build buildings. We're going to be looking for people to help us train workers. We're going to be looking for people in every imaginable possible way. Why? Because we need all the help we can get. And we believe that God helps the humble. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Let me talk to you afterward if you'd like to. I'll be happy to. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Hey, buddy. I love you.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.